You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman, we always resisted and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on Time for an Awakening. Excuse me. You have to excuse me, family. I'm battling a little something trying to jump on me here. So, okay. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Let me do this right quick, because I don't think we're gonna be doing some deviations from the program, I guess, today. That's what's in my mind. But this one I think is important. There was a radio station in Milwaukee. I was living in Milwaukee, and the radio station was WMCS community station. First it was WMVP, and they sold that to a station in Chicago. They sold those call letters to a station in Chicago, and they became WMCS. And it was a talk radio, and had talk programs throughout the day. And it was owned by Willie Davis. Willie Davis played for the Green Bay Packers. He retired and had a moved out to L.A. and had a Slits Brewery, Slits Beer, if any of you are old enough to remember that. And he had a distributorship, one of the first ones to have a distributorship. And he gave that up and then established All Pro Broadcasting, coming out of Houston, All Pro Broadcasting. And so I guess at the board level, you know, because he said he's going to keep WMCS as a talk radio station for the community and so forth. And the general manager, Don Rosette, who came from Houston to manage the station and there, the AM station and his FM station that he had. And but I guess these European Jews who were on the board finally won, and MCS was going to be no more. So in the month of February of 2014, on a Friday, as you were listening to Eric Vaughn, a brother who's an ancestor, a brother who came from D.C. to do a talk show, me and him became cool together. Although because he was kind of, you know, conservative to some degree, we had some fallouts, but we became real cool. And he invited me to come on. I even substituted for him on his station. And they had a Friday program, which is no longer happening. It ended just a month or so ago. The Man Show, every Friday, where brothers in the community would come in and talk about the issues of the day. And so I became a regular once I retired from the fire department. I had retired from the fire department in 06. So that Friday in February of 2014, you listen to Eric Vaughn, he goes off, and then you hear silence. And of course, in radio, you don't want to hear silence. You don't want to hear static. You don't want to hear none of that. You know, you can hear something
on a thread going round and round and round, you know, over and over again, but you don't want to hear that. And so after the silence, Elvis Presley music was on, you know, and wondering what's going on. And and I talked to the sister who was the station manager. She said she didn't know, and I'm going to take her word for it. Eric said he didn't know, and so, but it was a surprise attack that they took WMCS off the air, you know, so we found out and so forth. And so many of us in the community were upset by that, and we decided to come together and have a radio station. And Brother Nate Stampley, Bishop Nate Stampley, who's now in Belize with a ministry in Belize, he was helping to organize it, and we met at his church. And we were doing some things, and we pulled some money together. And I remember, you know, just to have a good faith in terms of being able to broadcast, we, and another brother, we went on radio at a Christian station on a Friday a number of times, I think like 3 or 4 times. You know, we used that station. And I moved here into Atlanta in late October of that year. So all throughout that time from February to October, we was trying to pull that whole thing together. And we call ourselves Motherland Media. That's why when I come on the air, I pay homage to that. The Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Because Time for an Awakening is on blacktalkradionetwork.com. Brother Scotty Reed out of North Carolina, he has the number of stations that he has, and one of the stations is Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening must broadcast 24/7, 365. And so we have a few live programs. My program, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11, as I usually read on Thursdays, so it's the Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Geronimo. It's not Geronimo. Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. That's on Thursdays from 7 to 8. And then Fridays at 8, I don't give him an ending time because Brother Elliot is his program, is his station. He ends when he wants to end. If things got going good, he'll stay on. Now, my ass, I better be off by I better be off by 1. But anyway, Brother Elliot's cool, man. He is a good brother, man. And Brother Richard, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Fridays, Time for an Awakening. And then Saturday, this program still is maintaining, I guess, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And Dr. Janine had the program through Baba Dr. William Rogers. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank. So he got into the radio piece a little after I did. We all ended together, and then, of course, we had a number of programs on Blog Talk Radio. You know, in fact, one program is still happening on Blog Talk Radio, of course, and that is Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. They're still on Blog Talk Radio. You know, and also to my good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. But he was never a part of what we did. But they had a program called Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. And I promote him because he's my brother, fellow past president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters. He's out of New York now, living in Norfolk, Virginia, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. And so then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7. You know, so that's how that all came about. You know, and that's why when you hear me say those names, that's what it's all about. And I pay homage to that. I have a lot of love and a lot of respect for our development and a lot of pride and so forth and being able to do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I really do. I thank my good friend, my Brother Irv, which will be my co-host next week, Friday. That's right. Mark your calendars. Me and Brother Irv. Yes, sir. And, of course, if I'm you know, incapacitated or away or whatever, you know, Brother Irv keeps it going. You know, he jumps in and keeps it going and does a damn good job, you know. And other brothers and sisters that I've had on this program a number of times, you know, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix, have him again. And, of course, people that we promote. And another thing about the things that we promote, you know, there's two people that run this, me and Brother Kwaku, you know. And Brother Kwaku I've known for, oh gosh, he's from Chicago, but he was in Milwaukee for a good number of years. In fact, I even poured libation at his wedding, and poured libation, he told me, the greatest thing, at least this is what he says to me, so I got to believe the brother, he's never lied to me, he's a good man. He said that when you poured libation at my grandmother's birthday, and it was a great thing, so it was my honor to do so. But he, because he has the technical, you know, he got with some brothers in Milwaukee and learned a lot about computers because he really is a heavy equipment operator, you know, earth movers and stuff like that and backhoes and all kinds of, you know, those things that pound out the you know, that's what he does. But he's now here in Atlanta, too, and I love the brother. He's a good man. And he does the technical things. So when you go to timeforanawakening.com, and at the top of the page, see podcast, click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. And you click on that. The reason why you see programs that are dated and titled and pictured and everything like that in the sequence is because of that brother. And I really appreciate that. Believe me, I do. And so, you know, I have these, you know, We Buy Black. I felt that We Buy Black was a good program. They still haven't came on officially. I have to call them and so forth, but I still promote them. Obviously, you know, Africa for the Africans. When I met Brother Mamani Taimba about 8 years ago, you know, when I got here. And then went to Habashaw's program at the Art Exchange, and I'm going to go again. That's next month, the 3rd, February 3rd. And Wadada's opened up in the community, and they had a number of programs. They had Baba Baruti there at Wadada's, and that's a great thing. So I promote her. And, of course, Mama Nia. Yes, definitely. She is a beautiful sister family, just a beautiful sister, Mama Nia. The Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. She had a little smaller bookstore. And even at that, I remember doing a presentation on ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. And now she's on the main corridor of the bookstore and has access to a facility where you can do book signings and presentations and, you know, me and Brother Olu, young brother, we did our Afrocentric presentation on on the pyramids, who built the pyramids and how they were built, which is a dynamic presentation. Who built the pyramids and how they were built, yeah. And, of course, Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore, Brother Kazemde Ajamu, my good brother. Yeah. Yeah, he's in Lithonia. And he's a Dallas Cowboy fan. So, you know, no, man, I'm not a Packer fan, but, you know, my team is even more pitiful than any team. But the Jets, they haven't been relevant since 1969. But that was a hell of a year, family. In fact, personally, I'm a Mets fan, and the reason why I'm a Mets fan is because 1969, they were in the bottom and so forth, and the Chicago Cubs, who hadn't won nothing, were at the top, and then the Mets put on a rush and overtook the Cubs. And then the Mets, they were the first time they had a divisional playoff. The Mets played the Atlanta Braves and in the East, and they beat them. And the when they beat the Braves, they now we're going to play for the World Series, and the Baltimore Orioles were a very strong team. The Baltimore Orioles beat the Minnesota Twins, and the Orioles had a dynamic pitching staff and all kinds of cats on that team. And the Mets wound up beating them. And if you check out this movie called Frequency, there's a segment in there where the guy is, you know, because he's in prison. I mean, in prison, he's in jail, and he's talking to the guy who's a captain, Andre Brower, who just recently passed. He plays the captain of the – see, he's a firefighter, and, of course, Andre Brower is the captain of the police department. And he says, I'm going to tell you why. You got to believe me, because this is what's going to happen. You know, this is – you know, he says he's going to be at bat. I think it's Don Clendenin or Cleon Jones, one or the other. And the Baltimore pitcher throws a pitch, and it's low, and it hits him on his shoe, on his cleat. And there's shoe polish on the ball, thereby giving him the base. And it happened, didn't it? Because it did happen, you know. And so, yeah. Yeah, I tell you. So, and then, of course, the New Black Wall Street Market, promoting them and the work that's happening there. Honestly, I'm going to tell you this, family, you know, that's who I am. I'm an honest man. And I felt they should have found the money, got all the money. The brother who created New Black Wall Street Market, he was in Baltimore at the State of the Black World Conference, which I was upset by because Brother Ron Daniels, I may not go to that ever again. I was a little upset. And the fact, too, that he was in Milwaukee, because I had it substantiated by a brother who I know has integrity. So I don't know what the hell Ron Daniels, maybe he's suffering from some mild form of forgetfulness, but who knows. But anyway, he was in Baltimore, and I wish he would have got all the money he needed to complete everything and then really put a promotional package out to the southeastern portion of this country, of Nashville, Chattanooga, you know, Memphis, whatever, you know, Charlotte, you know. But that didn't happen, and a lot of stores had to close. A lot of stores had to close. And if, and honestly, family, you know, I'm praying that the New Black Wall Street Market continues and it rebuilds and becomes a success. You know, that the stores that are there continue to hold on. You know, I saw the one sister in her store, she's holding on. Brother Saj, he's definitely holding on, you know. So some of the things and ideas they had that they couldn't do, they didn't complete them. But brothers and sisters, come out to the New Black Wall Street Market, please. Anyway, it's right off of I-20. And Turner Hill Road. Exit 75, Turner Hill Road. So it depends upon your directions, but you want to go south off of Turner Hill Road. So whether you're coming from the east or you're coming from the west, you know, if you're coming from the east, you're going to make a right. If you're coming from the west, you're going to make a left. And three lights. After the third light, at the third light, if you go past the Popeyes, you've gone too far. So make that right there, and on the left, about less than a quarter mile on the left is the New Black Wall Street Market, which was a Target. A lot of space. So, and of course, Us Lifting Us definitely will promote them, because I believe in cooperative economics. I believe in self-determination, liberation, sovereignty for African people. And one of the main things to do that is to have your own economic system. And so Baba Akima and Mama Tamu and all the brothers and sisters, you know, definitely. And I went to Homeland Village because Brother Umar was doing a presentation at Homeland Village and met Brother Abijah and the place that he has there in Macon, Georgia. Man, it's beautiful. I love it. I mean, you know, he has everything in that place. Even has a vegan restaurant in the place, you know. So, yeah, Brother Abijah, man, at Homeland Village, open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Yeah, Brother Abijah. And I just bought a sweatshirt from Sister Shelly Amonset of Sun Goddess Sense, who has her little small business in the International Discount Mall in Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Yeah. And so just bought a Sun Goddess Scent hoodie, and they gave me the Khaled Muhammad, everything Khaled. Khaled Muhammad, I love him, man. Beautiful man, beautiful spirit. I had the opportunity to, when the Million Man March was happening, I was intricately involved in the Million Man March from a local level with the Muhammad's Mosque number 3 and Brother Minister William Muhammad and the brothers and sisters there. On a national level, because of my involvement as the vice president at the time of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, and we had provided I think about 15 of us came from Milwaukee to participate and be a part of the whatever we did volunteering for the march. So, yeah. Yeah. The Million Man March. And, of course, Sanjay, I met Sister Gabby here in Atlanta, the work that she's doing in Haiti. That's how you pronounce it. It's not Haiti. Haiti. It's Haiti. You know, and also to my good sister, who's Haitian. Yeah. So, Sanjay, Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. So I took care of all of that in a different way. Yeah, I took care of all of that. So I'm going to read the Inyasasim, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah. I love them, man. They are beautiful. Sacrifice, man. Sacrifice. The education that they attained, all the things that they've done with, you know, Morehouse and Spelman and all of that, to have their own school, you know, their own school. That's the thing, family. You know, when I came here, I was already Pan-Africanist, and I looked and searched. I didn't look and search. I just fell right into the Pan-African communities, you know, because I've been here so many times previously, been to the shrine for Kwanzaa, you know, celebrate Kwanzaa, and back in Milwaukee, and of course here a number of times when I've come here around that time. And so... And I knew that Mama Marimba was here, so I finally hooked up with her. She's been in Ghana quite a while. I don't know if she's back yet, but, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And so, I, in a sense, brothers and sisters, I am blessed. I am blessed. And I know I am not professional. I just do the best that I can to present this information to you. And, you know, and I will continue to do it till I expire. I'm serious. If I just can't mentally, physically broadcast or convey information in a understandable sequential order, you know, then, hey, but as long as I can, I will. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So I'm going to read the Inyasasim. And today we're going to talk about, you know, there's so much to talk about. In fact, me and Brother Irv were laughing about it, man. There's so much that when the program starts, what do you want to talk about? Because there is a lot from an African perspective, how it affects African people, you know. So And like I said, I don't even talk about Trump that much, but even his ass. Wow. And so I know that there's a lot of us who are, you know, worried about whether he's going to become president again. I don't give a rat's ass. I'm honest. I'm just honest, you know. And, of course, I was talking to a sister, and her thing was, well, if you don't vote, then that's a vote for Trump. No, it's not. No, it's not. Trump's going to have his votes. Biden's going to have his votes. Whoever's going to vote for them, they're going to vote for them. And that's just it, you know. I've never voted for a Caucasian in my life. Never. Well, okay. To be perfectly honest, I did vote for a Caucasian on the union board, you know, because his brother was running, a good friend of mine was running. The other guy said, "Would you?" I said, "Okay, man, I'll do it." And of course, if I said I'd do it, I'll do it, you know. But no, in for presidency, let's just say that. But even on the local level, mayor and stuff like that, no. Number one, I don't like the politics of the situation to begin with. I mean, after all this voting, look at our condition, look at our situation. After all this voting, what has it really accomplished? You know. So, anyway. I'm going to read the Inyasisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That Baba Baruti has two volumes. And they're a few years old now. And so one I read for the whole year. The other one I read for the whole year. And vice, just change them off there. I mean, just good information, beautiful narratives, and good quotes of our people and so forth. So January 25th, we don't sleep at one side and fight for the other side. We don't sleep at one side and fight for the other side, the Akan proverb. Debate over the natural, racial, cultural, spiritual orientation of the product of black-white coupling continues to rage. Same frontliners recognize that the answer can never be found by those whose science keeps them oblivious to spirit. Moreover, there are multiple historical exceptions to every conclusion because of the confusion individualism brings to those inhabiting Yoruba's reality. Regardless, the most politically courageous search for answers within spiritual and cultural realms, because while the first is everywhere, static, constant, unchanging in its presence and purpose, the second subjects the first to human discretion and agency. Because all human thought develops within the social millennium, there is no more such a thing as absolute individual subjectivity than there is in absolute scientific objectivity. The significance of cultural influence cannot be ignored. So the impact of spirit must be examined within the context of cultural ruling the individual's interpretation of reality. For, as always, culture determines how we see and feel what we see and feel, and how we decide to use it. We know that the African and the Yoruba cannot equitably share space in one mind because they are irreconcilably different. Only one can rule. So in this unnatural anti-African reality, in order to answer the question of whether the African or the Yoruba wins in the children of interracial coupling, we have to know the person's mentality. The only point that we can make is that, even given the African's biological corruption, if the African Asili is chosen, then there is the potential to gain spiritual strength. If not, then the despiritualized weakness prevails. Affirm, I do not pretend to be African while sleeping with Yoruba. Affirm, I do not pretend to be African while sleeping with Yoruba. I know that when I read this, I kept thinking of many Africans who sleep with the enemy, you know. And some of them have done some good things in the context of moving America along, not in the African-centered context, not in a Pan-African context, not looking at the ability to help Africa, no, in moving the American ideal along. You know, Byron Allen, who came with tons of money to purchase media, you know, and he established the Griot Awards, which is real cool, I guess, you know. He's married to Caucasian, you know, but he wants to help set the narrative for us, you know, from a black. Once again, that's why you got to know there's a difference between being African and being black. You know, there are many people who are black, definitely do not want to be African. And there are some Africans who understand that, you know. And there are some Africans who understand that being African and being black is interchangeable. You know, I don't. I'm serious. Either you're African or you ain't. That's how I look at it. So, but there's so many others who are black. You're black. January 26th. It takes unwavering courage to resist the madness, to demonstrate a true love of our people, and to acknowledge the power of self-determination, the righteousness of our struggle, and the energy of our ancestors. Okosua Sabri. Warriors work toward establishing a space, absence of inner disturbance. They seek to operate on plateaus of unagitated, dynamic consciousness where they can be at peace with being at war with enemies of our people. Consciously devise politically intentional places where true divinity and sanity abide and rule. They solemnly affirm the removal of all that interferes with our way to frontline clarity and interprets our ability to move as karma, as models of what it means to be African. They fully release those things which are not good for us. As protectors of the whole community, they release themselves from the need to prove themselves to those whose sole purpose in life is manipulation and destruction. As servants of the people, they release themselves from the need to be loved by those who have demonstrated a lack of appreciation for our existence. As confident organization workers, they release themselves from the expectations of respect. And as such workers, they submit to a guiding sincerity within. They are no longer internally, externally, or recycling the frustration or anger others are driven to feel over the words and behaviors of individuals who bring no good into their lives. They diligently operate to remove the willfully menticidal from their mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional space. And no matter what else, they focus their thoughts, time, and energy only on those who love and respect them. Ashe. Affirm, I have the courage to resist the madness and to be African. Affirm, I have the courage to resist and the madness to be African. To be African, to be or not to be, that is the question, whether there's no... That's right, to be African, family. It's a question we have to always ask ourselves. To underscore the protective nature of the paternal spirit, the sleeping arrangement of the Akan is such that the male always sleeps in front of the female. The sleeping position must be such that if the woman has to get up, she may have to go over or around her husband. What is meant here is that the man not only protects the woman spiritually, but physically as well. In times of danger, the man is the first to rise up to confront whatever the perceived danger or threat is. He must have unimpeded access to the door to arrest the threat, and by the same token, be the first to be attacked. Anthony Dankor. If we are to correctly nation build as Africans of Ma'at, we have to completely return to the tradition that has always made sense for us, one that is fair and loving, one that is neither divisive nor abusive to either complement. If we are to correctly nation build as Africans of Ma'at, balance must be returned to our relationships, and this can only occur through us being who we naturally are. Of course, even before such relationships can come into existence, we have to be positively inspired to find a complement of worth. We should not say that we cannot find each other if we refuse to look. We should not separately talk about the desire to need for complementarity if we are unwilling to try until we succeed. Ashe. Affirm, I protect my sisters spiritually and physically, or I allow my brothers to protect me spiritually and physically. Ashe. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Ashe. Yeah, we're going to get off into some things that people have sent me. And the idea, I once again, family, you know, I be seeing stuff on it. I see it, I play it, or I read it. And next thing I know, where in the hell did it go? It's not there no more. And when I look for it, where I feel that it should be, it's not there. It's very frustrating. Very frustrating. But I will try my best to, you know. Yeah. Because there was one that I was listening to, and the sister was going off about the Europeans not wanting to return the stolen. That's, in fact, that's the title of this today's episode of African Perspectives, is they stole it, they must return it. Because I don't know if you know, but now you do. Europeans are refusing to return all the things that they have stolen from us. They feel it's more better to be where it is in their possession than it is to be given back by us, because we don't have the ability to maintain it, to keep it clean, to keep it shiny, to display it correct, all this sort of bullshit. You got to understand, the assault on Africa by Europeans is not a yesterday thing. It's hundreds of years. It's hundreds of years. And if you read Dr. Chancellor Williams' book, Destruction of Black Civilization, it's, what, 10,000 years? Or yeah. Constant attack on Africa by Europeans. You know, even when Islam, with its proselytizing ass, came on the scene and swept across North Africa and changed the dynamics of Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Morocco, and Mauritania, and so forth. Those Africans who chose to be a part of that, later to be called the Moors, you know, not because they were Muslim, but because they were dark-skinned Muslims. And then, of course, they cross over the Gibraltar. They call it Gibraltar today. They call it, so they used to call it the Hercules, something Hercules. But that little stretch, that strait, that little small stretch there. Because once you cross over into there, then, you know, now you're in now you're in Spain, Portugal, and so so forth, and so they came in there into Spain and ruled for 700 years. Thank heaven for 7-Eleven. If you ever look that up, okay? Thank heaven for 7-Eleven. So, you know, so that part of Morocco, which is very close, in Tangiers, and they went over into Gibraltar, and, of course, Spain, and because Portugal is to the west, to the northwest of there, and so basically it was Spain, all of it in Cordoba, Seville, da-da-da-da, all of that area in there, and then they ruled from there. I don't know if they went up to Toledo, I don't know, Toodly-doo, but, or Madrid, because it's after north of Toledo. But they were the light of Europe. Europe was in a dark age. Europe was in a medieval age at that time. And the advancements that they brought were monumental. Were monumental. And so they in fact, without it, Europe would have stayed in the dark age. But because of the light that they brought, Europe was able to correct itself, clean itself up, literally. You know, water was created in the baths and so forth. Get them animals out of the castle and put them in a corral. And all of those things. And then once they started feeling good about themselves, and then Charlemagne and Martel and so many others, they wound up, saying, hey, let's take back our country. We may war amongst ourselves, and they do. Europeans are very warring people. But we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. And that's what they've done. And then they started to venture out and go around the world, taking everybody's stuff in the name of, Spain, Portugal, France, England, Germany, Italy, all of that. Holland, the Netherlands. Everybody had Belgium. Everybody had one of the peace. Especially that was close in that in this hemisphere. Not in this hemisphere, but in the European, African hemisphere. The Eastern hemisphere. Because in the West, of course, it's United States, or whatever the indigenous people call it, because believing they were there, and many nations were there. And of course, the European came, because he came in with superior weaponry. He came in with guns, and then he came in with, and if you listen to this program, you know, I'll always say that the Europeans always found a better way to kill your ass. That's right, a better way to kill your ass. And from probably from the moment his ass started to develop, as opposed to us, it might have been a rock. Well, I can bop your ass aside here. Then, of course, a club. Then, of course, a spear, a sword. You name it, they kept developing into cannons, catapults. There was a piece I watched on on History Channel, the development of weaponry. I mean, man, a better way. And of course, guns that can kill people so quickly, and just start shooting your ass and just taking you out, I'm going to tell you what, we've got a lot of people in the queue, so let me just take some calls. And if you're in the queue now, hit star twice. Hit star twice, and that lets me know instead of I'm going to open it up and just be saying, hey, where's the, okay. Brother Khalib, good morning.
Greetings. How you doing, OG?
I'm doing well. How are you, my brother?
Brother, I'm doing great. You know, you had 50% of the weapons they use. You forgot that Bible.
Oh, yes, sir. That was
Man. I'm telling you, between the epistles and the Bibles, man, they did our people a disservice.
That's right.
And that's putting it mildly.
Right. How have you been, man? I ain't heard from you in a while. You been doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I had a little health situation, but it's on the mend. We all go through stuff, don't we?
We sure do, man.
When you get 70, man, you know, all kinds of stuff start coming out.
That's
you know,
right,
your toenail,
me, I'm there
toenail
too.
Fall off, you know, your finger don't work today, kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm thankful, man. Every morning I wake up, I'm thankful I actually wake up.
Right on,
and I can contribute something before I actually leave here, you know.
That's
so.
Right.
But I've been listening to you. You know, you've been having some very interesting callers. And,
yeah.
You know, like I said, my whole purpose now is just to learn everything I don't know. And I'd be surprised at the things I don't know when I listen to your callers, man.
Yeah.
So
don't they bring some wisdom?
And
they
you,
really do.
I don't mean to put them ahead of you. You know, things I learned from you, man. You know, you're never too old to learn. That's one thing I'm learning now.
That's right.
You know, a 3-year-old can show you how to better tie your shoe if you pay attention to him, you know?
That's right.
I'm serious, man.
That's right.
So,
Rick.
You know, I appreciate what you're doing, and I know I listen to you, man, and you be fighting with some people and loving some people and. It's all good, man.
It is.
That's the way I look at it.
It is. It's,
but I appreciate
it's
what you're doing. I would never want you to think that somebody, even when I'm quiet, I'm listening.
Right.
And
on.
That's more important than talking.
That's for sure.
You know?
I appreciate that, man. I really do.
Yes, sir.
I love you for it.
Yes, sir.
You take care and keep that health up. Continue to listen. All right, dear brother?
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
All right.
Man, Brother Rick, I ain't heard from a while, and I pray that his health continues to improve. And
hey, OG.
Yeah, what's up?
What's happening, man?
I don't know, Jay. You tell me, man.
Man, listen, I got a question for you.
Okay.
I was talking with a good brother today, and he was telling me something about, how do you refer to him kindly, as far as this domestics who try to tell Americans who have been here for hundreds of years what we should do to solve our dilemma with the white man. Now, my question is, when the foreign domestic speaks on those terms, I always ask this question. Have they solved the dilemma with the white man where they at? So if they haven't solved the dilemma with the white man where they at, what gives them the right to tell me how I should solve my dilemma with the white man here? I just don't understand the arrogance and the superiority of that type of Negro to tell me that I have to behave and act in this fashion to get this cracker off my back who been on my back for 500 years. I mean, it amazes me the arrogance of foreign domestic monkeys to tell my people what we need to do to make it right for us here.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
I don't either, dear brother.
I'm trying to figure it out because the brother that was telling me about it, he was kind of shocked also that we allow for this type of utter nonsense to go on, because I know I can't go back home and tell African people what they should do to get that monkey off their back. I don't have the right to do nothing but go there with open arms and embrace the situation right. that I find myself in and try to do the best that I can to assist my people. But I don't have no right to tell them what they should do, especially if I'm being oppressed where I'm at.
Right on.
That's the thing that just kills me about the whole thing. But what do I know? But listen, let me get to the next quick point.
Yeah,
as African people, what are we going to do here in America, you think, to liberate ourselves from the daily madness of violence that is going on in our so-called community? Because I don't feel we have community. I think we have neighborhoods.
That's right. We have a hood. Not a neighbor. We just have hoods. Okay?
A hood.
Yeah, we have hoods. Not a damn thing, because this country was born out of violence. It's been violent from its very inception. It continues to be violent. You can romanticize about times and periods and so forth. You know, you can do that. But the reality of it is, it's always been and always will be violent. And so there ain't a damn thing that we can do. In fact, when you have people who are hell-bent on making sure that guns, no matter how they are readily available, and I can have access to them, I don't give a damn. But anyway, man, let me go ahead and take this break, you know?
Yeah,
come back
I'll
from the
be
break.
Here.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. All right. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to take a break. When we come back from the break, of course, we'll continue the conversation. And so you stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk. RadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Champion, baby, you're my. Yeah.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Let us see and Jaheim stay together. Beautiful, isn't it? And of course, we ride, Jaheim and Boney James, we ride. I tell you, man, love them songs, man. Love them. Love them, I really do. That's a good Friday song. Friday, good Friday. Aside from the OJs, you know, and Johnny Kemp just got paid. Those are the ultimate two Friday songs. But to me, a good Friday song is one that I remember as when I was coming up and went to the clubs. even when I worked second shift, man, and at this foundry, you know, doing that dirty work, making, you know, as a molder, you know. And, man, we were fortunate because it was hot or some problem, we got off early, and I made it to the club. Yeah. Right on time. All right, family, if you got something you want to add, you hit start twice, and I'll let you in. But I want to talk about, I had a piece, like I said, you know, and it was an excellent piece. The sister was going off, and I loved it, and about sorry, family. She was going off about the fact that they stole our stuff and they won't give it back, you know. But here's the arrogance of Caucasians. You know, this is the arrogance of them. And I ain't got to tell you, my listeners, because y'all know the arrogance of these folks. You know, y'all know. But here's a good portion of the arrogance of Caucasians.
Identify a third world country that has resources our corporations covet, like oil, and then arrange a huge loan to that country from the World Bank or one of its sisters. But the money never goes to the country. Instead, it goes to our big corporations to build infrastructure projects, power plants, highways, industrial parks, things that benefit a few very rich people in that country, as well as our own corporations, but don't help the majority of the people who are too poor to buy electricity, don't have the skills to get jobs in industrial parks, don't own cars to drive on the highways. And yet those very people, the whole country is left holding a huge debt so that it can't pay for education and social services and health care for its people. In fact, the debt is so huge by intent that at some point we economic hitmen go back and we say, listen, you owe us a lot of money. We'll identify a third world country.
Yeah, you owe us a lot of money. Yeah. You owe us a lot of money. That's the mentality. Where am I at in that piece? Yeah, here we go. This is another good brother. Here, listen to this.
The Democratic Republic of Congo. And as you can see up there behind me, there is one of the volcanoes. But this is the head center of the mineral theft of the world. This is the head of the green tech revolution, all for all different kinds of minerals. And this country has 24 trillion, as I said before, has 24 trillion in the ground. It has a inexhaustible amount of minerals here. And this is the center of this green tech revolution. This green tech revolution has cost the Congolese people 6 million people dead to date. More than that, every single day people are dying. There was a massacre the other day. People are getting chopped up. You go down to the town and you're going to see where there's actually been a protest, where there's pictures of people who have been chopped up for these minerals so that Europeans, Chinese, and every other ethnic group in the world, apart from Africans, can profit from the suffering of Africans, all for cobalt, coltan, wolframite, tungsten, uranium, plutonium. All of these things are found here in Congo, and these things continue to be stolen while you have people acting like the way that they're going to save the planet after they destroyed it is they're going to continue to destroy African people, continue to murder African people. This country has a population of 50% under 15 years old and 70% under 30 years old at the same time as there's around 22 million people
facing starvation and 6 million people displaced. This is all for minerals right now. This is the silent genocide that is not being spoken about because it's Africans that is dying. And if this was Ukraine, people would be speaking about it. If this was France, people would be speaking about it. If this was America, people would be speaking about it. And we're not. We're silent while these people die because we want tech. And it's not good enough. It's something that needs to change, you know? So, right now, Medea, Democratic Republic.
Yeah. So these are the things that are happening around the world, dear family, constantly. You know, and my sister, Sister Akena Chinchemboriqua, I've spoken about this. I haven't played anything, but I'm going to play a couple of small pieces. You know, this kind of leads into, I'm sorry, family. what I'm going to read about in a minute.
Our ancestors who fought the wars of resistance, their heads, their remains are sitting in jars throughout Europe. And the same people have the audacity to come to Africa and talk to us about human rights. But what's even more disturbing is that we entertain them and we don't remind them of these skeletons in their closet. Our leaders.
There's racial.
The most dangerous African of today is an African who is colonized, educated or not. What is our education doing to us? What have we done to undo the colonial education? I hear right here in Ghana, perfect example. There's not a single Kwame Nkrumah book that is required reading in the Ghanaian educational system. Whose problem is that? Most African countries, our educational system is still the colonial educational system. So what do you expect from the leaders that we have today if their education remains colonized? It is the educated who are refusing to challenge the status quo and speak on our behalf, educated or not. The most dangerous African.
Yeah, the colonization, the taking of resources, the removal of people, the murder, the theft, all these things have happened and continue to happen to African people. They will only stop until we make it stop, until we come together. There's only one solution, family. Only one. They're not multiple. They could lead to that one, but there's only one. Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. We must become independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. It is the only way. It is the only way. So, when I found that piece, and I couldn't find it, but when I saw it, it was, you know, I said, yeah, this is going to be good. Well, damn it, I couldn't get it. It's a good piece, and I may more than likely come across it again. I hope so. And if I do, once I get it, I hope to try to find a way to preserve it and play it back to us and so you can hear that one piece. Sister going off and a Caucasian trying to rationalize about, no, just give us back our stuff. That's, you know, that's all there's to it. Just give us back our stuff. So, went to Al Jazeera. It's not a video, but it's going to read some stuff here to you. Oxford University professor Dan Hicks on why Western museums must urgently return colonial era objects. detail of the continuous Benin plaques exhibit, more commonly known as the Benin bronzes, at the British Museum in London. Won't give them back, London. Dan Hicks is a professor of contemporary archaeology at the University of Oxford, who has worked at the university's Pitt Rivers Museum for 14 years. Pitt Rivers in Oxford is an institution that says it is committed to decolonization process. In 2020, it removed more than 100 human remains from open display, including trophy heads from India. And just like Sister Chambori a moment ago, when you listened to that, she talked about that. Brother Ted Lutz, how you doing? Good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. And I wanted to chime in before I had to leave. But, you know, I really got somewhat moved, especially with regards to you expressing information on the Moors. You know, this thing, this process, excuse me, of education that we're involved with here in the West really excludes a lot of information that I think if we had access to, if we had exposure to, it would really change our mindsets about things. And, for example, the sciences and mathematics, right? You know, the Moors were the ones who, in that process of bringing Europe out of its darkness, had the kind and type of intellectual ability to introduce science, particularly chemistry, in the 10th century, all right, that helped with this process of moving them out of the dark into the new era. And so, but these are some things that, especially during our education as science and math and technology majors, we would never, ever touch at all.
Exactly.
Right?
And exactly. So never give any credit to that.
We'll never touch this. And so some of this really has to be something inside us that will move us to seek out information. And I think that's, for me, I know I never had that education at all. It wasn't until times and events and circumstances and situations that it all of a sudden I found myself gravitating toward it. And so, and looking at and reading about the kinds and types of things the Moors brought to Spain, so much so that, I mean, well, hey, we have this here. I mean, wait, I need to identify with this to some degree or another, right? And so it's just some things on both sides of this educational process. One, the exposure, and two, the seeking out of information in order to enhance and improve ourselves. So I just wanted to chime in on that.
Right on. Appreciate that. Yes, you're right.
And because it is so very important, I think, to our development, especially in the areas of the sciences.
Right on. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Ted. Man.
Peace.
Peace, my brother. Have a great weekend, Ted. All right.
You too.
Peace. Brother Lutz out of Montgomery, Alabama family. He's a good man. Good brother. I look forward to, once again, coming that way, or him coming this way and breaking bread. Brother Paul.
Thank you.
Brother Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good morning. How are you, Baba Ochi?
I am doing well, my friend. I am doing well. What about you? You doing okay? Feeling all right?
I am doing fantastic. Good. I'm just taking every breath as I go along and giving thanks for life. And I'm even better to know that you're doing well too. And right. You know, I just appeal to the ancestors to keep you strong, keep you breathing, keep you awake, and keep you as alert as you are, even though you're an old ass man. That's a joke. You know, Baba Oti, I'm so appreciative that you can take a joke. You know, I'm so appreciative. It shows good intellect, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good. It does.
We have to laugh sometimes, man, because if we don't laugh and take on this insanity too much, man, we end up in the mental institution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it is crazy. Go ahead, brother.
It's psychopathic. That's what it is. But we are the true creators of the planet, and we are the originators. So therefore, once we know ourselves and truly know ourselves, We can stay out of their madhouses. But Baba Ochi, you know, I want to follow something that his name slips my mind, but the last brother who contributed.
Brother Ted, Brother Ted Lust, the one who talked about the Moors, or somebody previous?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, yep. Go ahead.
The Moors are quite controversial because there's a part they played in the African, a large part. Obviously, they were Muslims. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being a Muslim is an ideology, but that's quite controversial because the Muslims, they played a massive part in overthrowing the Africans and keeping them in chains.
Yes.
They played a massive part in the insurgent into Africa and putting the Africans into chains.
Yes.
Okay. For over 2,000 years.
Yes.
Right. And that sometimes we don't want to admit that, especially if you're of that ideology. We want to pretend that that didn't happen, and it did happen. Because in their book, they follow the Judaic religions, right? They put the black man down as below them, and they still do it to this day. Even today, they do it in those so-called Arabic countries. The black man is below them. It's written in their books. Yeah. But anyway, you know, that's a bit of controversy. But what he says is true. You know, you've got, I don't know if you're familiar with the brother over there, Clive Winters?
I'm not familiar.
Mm-mm. You're not familiar with him. Professor. No. I think he's a professor, by the way, you know. But a lot of the things he says is very controversial.
Okay.
Very controversial because he more recently than not, he talks about a lot of the African in Europe. And you talk about Charlemagne, right? And you know what? I read somewhere, I'm not saying this is fact, but I read a lot of evidence to say that that's just fabricated. That stuff is totally fabricated. Even the character's fabricated. He's named after some other character. Look, the point I'm trying to make is this, yeah? I know you're going to accept this.
Wait a minute. Let me backtrack with you, Brother Paul. So you're saying Charlemagne as a character.
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? Because it was a bit of information I read, right?
Okay.
Years ago. And you know what I mean? And I just skipped. I read it, and you know, this academic was saying he was named after some other. Uh-huh. The point I'm trying to make is this, what I'm realizing, which is a great awakening for me.
Hold on, Brother Paul. Let me just say this quickly. Just quote what you got there, because when you said that to me, it brought back the fact that many of the people who are led to believe are historical coming out of England and Europe are not historical.
Thank you. See, that's the point I'm going to make to you, Baba Ochi.
Okay.
Because in my great awakening, right, and removing myself from the indoctrination, I speak English. I was born in this country, so I'm totally indoctrinated. But removing myself from that indoctrination, it's like almost like a betrayal when you realize how much you've been lied to. And, you know, when you look, you there in the so-called United States of America, right? I just have to speak the facts. I know the person who set out the plan to create that place. His name is Sir Francis Bacon. You can go and read these things. This is part of my awakening. Yes. Right? Yes. He wrote a book. He's got a book called The New Atlantis. He was a Freemason. He was friends with George Washington and all of them. They're all Freemasons, right? They're all together, all Freemasons. They used to go visit France together. They put a plan together to create a place called The New Atlantis based on some Greek mythology, okay?
Right.
So what I'm saying to you is this. These are the things you read and you start to awake. So much lies, Baba Ophi, these people have told. And you know how they cemented the lies? They cemented it through the printing press. Because most people were illiterate. You got to understand, most people could not read or write. So when these so-called academics or whoever they call themselves in Europe, right, they just made up things, made up characters, right? And they have sown these folk tales and these mythologies in people's minds.
Right.
The Bible. This Bible book, right?
That was the first thing printed when Gutenberg established the printing press was the Bible.
Right.
Yes. Go ahead, Paul.
They made themselves God.
Yeah.
They made themselves God in that book. Mm-hmm. And they have sowed the indoctrination so deep in our minds that, you know, when you, I know when I'm talking, those who are so indoctrinated, they think, what the hell is he talking about? But the truth of the matter is, I don't speak to them, you know. I speak to their conscience, because in your subconscious, it knows the truth.
Right.
But most times we betray our subconscious. We betray it because our conscious fights against our subconscious, meaning that the indoctrination, which is in our conscious, is fighting against our subconscious. In our subconscious, we know the truth. The subconscious talks to the DNA. In your DNA, you know the truth. Yeah? You know yes. In your conscious. You don't think or believe the truth in your DNA, because your DNA is what you are. But your conscious, the indoctrination, the propaganda, the lies, the folk tales, the mythology, is what's being placed in front of us, Baba Ochi.
Mm-hmm.
So based on what the last brother said, what I agree with is that when we know the truth, right, of course the truth is going to set us free. And that's what they're trying to hide. That's why they're so frightened, because most of their so-called his story is based on total and absolute lies. And the last thing I want to say, we don't even realize the part we played in Europe. We have no idea of that. We don't realize that some of these people they're calling were just like us, Africans. Some of them people they put their title to and names to were Africans. Look, last thing. When I came to America, one year I came to America and I was going to Jamaica, and I had to get a last minute flight, and the flight stopped at Charlotte Airport, and I had to sleep overnight. And when I got to the airport, because I didn't want to book in a hotel because it was only a few hours, so I said, I'm going to try and stay out. Anyway, I went for a walk, and I walked outside the airport, and I saw a statue of Queen Victoria. And I thought to myself, why is Queen Victoria outside this airport? It didn't make sense to me, because I'm in a republic. This place called America is supposed to be a republic, and they rejected the Queen. So why have they got the Queen outside the airport? I had no idea about who Charlotte was. So when I got back to England, right, I done some research, and I found out for the first time in my life. Now, remember, I'm in an English school, and they teach us all about the kings and queens, but I'd never heard of Queen Charlotte. And then when I done the research, I found it on a website called Rasta Live Wire. It's the oldest website I can tell you have facts. It's called Rasta Live Wire. And I read on that website, Queen Charlotte was a black woman.
That's right.
And I thought, this is crazy. What do you mean Queen Charlotte was a black woman?
Yeah.
That's craziness, yeah? And the more I researched it, the more I found, right? Well, she wasn't black. She was mixed race.
Right.
She was of African and Habsburg, German, Germanic.
And you can see that in the drawings of her.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Go ahead.
Here, what, Baba Ochi? Listen, what they don't tell you is how many of them, there's enough of them black kings, enough of them in Europe, enough in England, Germany, and all them places came from Africa. They were black like me and you, but they have hidden it. They have totally hidden it from us.
Mm-hmm.
See, we don't even know the part we play. We think Europe is a white, where white people come from. Listen, we have been so lied to that we are walking forward when we're walking backwards when we think we're walking forwards.
Yes.
That's how much we can lie to. I tell you, these people are the living deceivers. That's why when they came to the place you call America, the indigenous people said the white man speak with forked tongues. He's an absolute deceiver. He's the real snake.
Yes.
That's the last thing I have to say.
Yes. All right, Brother Paul. Appreciate that. Yes, thank you for bringing that fire, man. Right on. Hang on, Brother Paul. Brother Abdullah. Abdullah or Sister Abdullah? Abdullah? Amira?
Oh, she.
Yes. Is it Muhammad?
Yeah. I'm all ears.
All right, right on. Okay. If you want to continue to listen, do so, but you know what to do to jump in. Hit star twice, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
No, thank you. Right on, my good friend, my brother Muhammad Abdullah, who has been a guest on this show many times and will be soon. That's for sure. All right. So anyway, let me get back to this piece I was about to read here about the theft and why these folks believe that they should not return what they have stolen. Pitts River in Oxford is an institution that says it's committed to decolonization process. In 2020, it removed more than 100 human heads from open display, including trophy heads. That's what Sister Arcana was talking about in the piece that I played earlier, you know, including the heads from India, the mummies of an Egyptian child, and South American or shrunken heads, you know. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Or shrunken heads. Objects which are considered sacred or secret by indigenous people. But it still holds many colonial era objects and collections. That's what they do. They just want to keep your stuff. Hicks' new book, The Brutish Museums, not British, because they're brutes. The Brutish Museums, the Benin Bronzes, Colonial Violence and Cultural Reinstitutions, makes a powerful argument for Western museums to repatriate looted artifacts and tackle the Eurocentric narratives that were historically created to promote them. And of course, Hicks is a Caucasian at the museum, the Brutish Museum. He focuses on pillaging of the Benin Bronzes in the late 19th century, following in 1897 the British naval attack on Benin City, located in modern-day Nigeria. After the attack, thousands of artifacts were violently taken and ended up at some of the most... Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Yes, I've been trying to get in. Had to use another phone.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're in, dear. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to, make the announcement about the town hall meeting that's hosted by the Pan-African Settlers Movement locally here in Metro with the theme of Cop City.
Cop City, Atlanta. Yeah.
To okay. The coups in Africa and what's the connection. And we have a great panel that's going to be on this panel. We have Ambassador Dr. Uwa. We have Brother Matthew Johnson.
Matt Johnson, from Juneteenth Day.
Reverend Scottish Church. And then we have Brother Putu, Liberian Renaissance man. And then we have Yasi Jami. From the Malcolm X grassroots movement.
Yeah, Malcolm X grassroots.
And right. So
now, when is this?
This is tomorrow from 3 to 5 at First African Church, 5197 Selma Road, Stone Crest, Georgia.
First African Church.
Yeah, First African. And for more information, 800-253-3397.
For more information, dial what? 1-800?
It's a hotline.
800-253-3397.
Let me repeat it. 800-253-3397.
3397, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
that's 1-800. 1-800-253-3397. This is going to be Zoomed, right?
No, this is in person.
It's only in person. Okay, I see.
We're going to try to get it done on Facebook. I'm working with the tech person there at the church. But
what time is
we're looking at 3.
3 p.m. to what? To close, huh?
To 5.
To five. Okay.
Yeah, because we have to get out of here because the church has another event at 7.
Okay, African. I know First African.
Right. Yeah. But a lot of the topics have come up about what's getting ready to happen with now that the Liberian president has been inaugurated, in terms of how the United States is prompting him to start the war against Niger. Because they want that colonial leader back in place so they can put this pipeline from Nigeria all the way up to Morocco, where it'd be close to Europe, so that they can benefit from the oil. They claim that it will benefit Africans along the way. But if you know what happened in Kenya, they're still working on the pipeline there. And those 100,000 people have lost their homes and their property and their land permanently. So they lied to the people saying, you know, it's going to benefit you, but actually they're just lying. It's not going to benefit the people.
Of course they are. Of course they're lying. That's what they do. They're liars.
They do it all the time.
All the time.
And then there's a lot of money being made with the militarization of the police there, as well as here with the top city, trying to keep people who are resistant to these movements that they're making or these leaders are making, so that all of this is all part of the plan. And, you know, Cop City is not only in Atlanta, it's in Baltimore, and also I think Baltimore is going to be even larger than what's happening here in
so they have a training Metro. So they have a training facility in Baltimore on the same par as the one they are developing here in Atlanta, Cop City, which basically is a military training center. That's
exactly
what it is. It's a military training center.
And the other thing that's really crucial is that the Supreme Court, I think yesterday, and the governor from Texas, they signed some kind of document so that Texas can secede from the United States. And that Biden is trying to federalize the National Guard in Texas, and those folks in Texas said, "You ain't seen nothing since January 6th. You know, come on, we ready for you." So this is Texas, and there's 25 states that's falling behind Texas in terms of we get ready to see something we've never seen before in terms of the breakup of the United States of America. They're now calling the untied states of America. So it's serious. And we want our people to be aware and to be prepared for what's to come. And particularly those folks who are living in Texas right now, they need to stay out of the way because these folks, these white folks going to be fighting each other.
That's all the more reason, damn it, to get the hell out of here. Repatriate. Yeah. Get ready to get the hell up out of here and get them crackers out of Africa, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters.
Yeah, but this has happened sooner than we think. First week in February is going to be a bad weather in terms of the Arctic cold is coming through Texas, and it could cause a blackout. We don't know for sure.
It did a few years ago. You know, unless they've upgraded the grid. It did a few years ago, you know.
Right. So it'd be an opportune time for them to do what they're planning to do. Mm-hmm. Everybody is without power. So all of this is all coming together, and we want people to come out so we can talk about, strategize, and this won't be the last town hall meeting because there's so much information we can't give it all out in one session.
All right, Mama Nabanta, give me the address to First Africa.
5197 Salem Road.
Salem Road.
And if you happen to come, we'd love to have you do libation.
Okay. Salem Road. Okay. That's out in Stonecrest.
Stonecrest used to be Lithonia, but it's not
right.
Stonecrest.
Used to be Lithonia. Just go straight out I-20. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
20 East.
Right, mm-hmm. 20 East. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, Mama Nabantu.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Have so long. All right.
Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
I got two questions, but I'm going to start with what Mama Nabantu was talking about. Texas is talking about separating themselves from the United States, right? This is the question that one should ask themselves. If they were to do that, how would they govern themselves? Do you think they will be able to succeed being in a situation to where as they could get nothing from the United States government?
No, of course not.
I mean, this is some of the biggest joke shit in the world.
Yeah.
To listen to these sick white folks who are basically going to do nothing but get themselves killed because they can't compete against the American military.
I mean,
if you want to be honest, the United States is playing nice with this dumbass. You know what I mean? They could order all of the National Guard to leave Texas. Now, if they don't leave Texas, do you know what type of problems that would cause for the military people that didn't leave Texas under orders from the United States military, United States government? Greg Abbott don't have control over the National Guard in the way that the United States do.
Of course not.
That's why this the is all
Guard,
about
because the National Guard is not state. State. The National Guard is federal. So you're right.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Mama.
Texas has more resources than we are aware of. It has more resources than a lot of the countries on this planet.
They have
the military force to combat the federal, because that's what Biden wants to do. He wants to bring the federal down there to Texas to federalize the Texan National Guard. From what I'm hearing, that's not going to happen because every household, most of white, got are prepared with their guns and their ammunition. They're ready to start a civil war. And they said they are ready to take down the federal government. And they got the might to do it.
Texas,
if you do your research, you will find out what Texas is capable of. And you got 25 states. Listen to me, brother. They have 25 states that are falling behind the governor of Texas. They want to do the same thing. So we need to be prepared. The military force. They got
no, ma'am. Their military force.
Do you live in
think
Texas?
About it.
Do you live in Texas?
No, miss.
No, he lives in, no, he lives in New York. Hold on, Mama Nabatu. Go ahead, Jay.
How is it that, think about this, please. This is where you do analytical thinking. How could Texas, one state, compete militarily with the United States? That's madness. I mean, just think it out. America sends troops
all around the world.
49 states to one state, and there's a competition there?
You got 25 states backing up Texas. You got 25 states backing up Texas.
That's not reality. No, sis, you got to think. You're not thinking. Just like when I asked you about the resources, what are the resources that they control? That the United States government doesn't have authority over. There's no resource that Texas control that America doesn't have authority over. You got to think this stuff out before you come on here with this madness talking about 29 other states are going to join Texas against America. That's stupidness. It doesn't work like that.
It's already written 25 states.
Come on,
look
Jay.
It up. Look
you
it
gotta
up.
Be smarter than this to even think.
No,
that
all right, all right, Jay.
I'm
Jay,
not making this up.
That's it, Jay.
I'm
that's
not making
it.
This
that's
up.
It.
Okay. I'm not the other thing. It's a fact.
The other thing is too. The other thing, Mama Nabatu, is the Project 2025. When these folks are wanting to do this governmental takeover, you know. And so this is a lot of craziness, and I understand where Jay's coming from, and it remains to be seen what's truly going to happen in this situation. I don't think, There's enough people and enough people with money who understand that this will mess up a lot of things. At least, you see, for those of us like myself, because I ain't got no money, who don't have no money and who's living, you know, my disruption is minuscule compared to what can happen to them. And so I'm in agreement with Jay to the extent that this may be just some rhetoric. This may be some, you know, some hyperbole, you know, that they want to do this, that they're planning to do this. You know, now we both know that the police departments, particularly in major cities, have been trained. In fact, a lot of them have been trained by the European Jews in Israel, the Mossad, right. The Mossad, you know, because they act in terms of as a occupying, like they have been for the last 70 years in Palestine as an occupying force, you know. And so they've been training the United States. And so, therefore, men and women who look like us, who have taken an oath to protect and serve the Constitution, you know, may be engaged in some stuff against the citizens of this country, you know. So, yeah. I don't know, Mama Nabantu. This is going to be interesting. So I'm going to come down there and hear what you got to say. Not you got to say, but hear what's being said.
You have to check out what the Supreme Court got.
Right.
Approved last, I think it was 2 days ago, what the Supreme Court approved and what Biden has done. That's in writing. Okay. That's a fact.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's writing in the fact is 225. I just did the research on 2025 and definitely plan to, hold on, Nabantu, you got a lot of feedback, and definitely plan to, hopefully there'll be some listeners, you know, who will do the same thing, and so we can have a serious discussion. Maybe next week, maybe next week Wednesday. You know, Brother Irv will be the our guest host on next Friday. Mama Habia, go ahead.
Oh yeah, yeah. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm listening to the show and enjoying a lot of it, but I'm with Mama Nabantu. You said you with Brother Jay believe in the rhetoric. I'm with Mama Nabantu.
Okay.
And that's my sister. And, yes, you know, some people shouldn't come in calling her stupid. I'm taking highly offense of that. It's very disrespectful.
No, he didn't call her stupid. He said the idea. He didn't say that she is.
I was hearing that stupid.
Right. No,
saying,
no.
Saying stuff like that.
He didn't call her.
Yeah, I think U.S. gets put up on this pedestal that they're infallible and that there can't be other forces against the United States.
And you're right about that. You're right.
And so, so when someone is posing something against the U.S., you know, this response to almighty U.S., nothing can defeat them. And so that's not, you know, we can stand up and U.S. is not infallible like that. And
no, I
don't think they should be just put up in this pedestal and just fear this hysteria, but just like they got all this hysteria about Trump. It's all this hysteria and fear. And you know, I'm like with like I said the other day with Brother Paul, bring it on.
Okay, my sister. All right, sister Abia. Appreciate it.
And did you know? Yeah, and so you heard about the World Court that they were making a ruling about South Africa. I mean, that South Africa. South Africa.
Right. South Africa challenging Israel in what's happening in Palestine and. I heard of that, of course.
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, I mean, they were calling for a ceasefire. The World Court did not go along with that, but they did go along with saying that there needed to be, stopping the genocide, and they got to do a report to combine with. I mean, the U.S. is, they're very arrogant, them and the, them and Israel.
Well,
you know, how they try, and a lot of times I guess they do get away with it.
Well, of course, because they control all of that. And so, therefore, the European Jews who are in Palestine, calling themselves Israel, are going to take all of that land. There's not going to be anything to stop them from doing it because they have the backing of the West. They have the backing of all the things.
And
exactly.
Britain.
Exactly. All of that. All right. So let me get.
Well, people rising up against. I think people still rising, fighting against it. It's a problem.
Okay. Let me get brother.
Bibi Horye,
my sister, our victorious destiny. Let me get brother Marcus. Brother Marcus, good afternoon.
Yes, brother Oshi, greetings. You know, my sister, the sister there from Texas, Nabantu.
She's from here. She's in Atlanta. She's from California, but she's here in Atlanta.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Because right now, what is going on? Biden is threatening to federalize the troops there because Abbott just said he implements some supreme law at Texas, saying that Texas is being invaded, and so some law he came up with, he draw and say, you know, so they went against what the Supreme Court said. The Supreme Court told them to move the barrier, right?
Right.
And so by this threatening now to federalize the troop, now what's that going to do? It's going to split the army, because some people might say, you know what, I ain't going with it, and some people might go with it, you know. So this country getting ready to split.
Yeah.
This is the right, you see. So, you know, it's getting ready to jump off, because Texas ain't the only. Tennessee here where I'm at, Mississippi, Georgia, you see, it's just Texas is the one that's going to fire the first warning shot, you see. So fasten your seatbelt. Get ready for the ride. It's coming.
Okay.
All right. That's all I got to say.
All right, Brother Marcus. Yeah, we'll see. That's all I can say is we'll see. In fact, will there be, that? As I just mentioned, will there be more sane or cooler heads being able to prevail? We don't know.
A-O.
Yes, Jay, go ahead.
A-O. You know, sometimes we have an emotional response to non-logical things because of our hatred of the cracker in the way that we've been mistreated by him, and our desire to punish him and to have him get his comeuppance. Mm-hmm. But to think that one state could do anything against
but it's
the
not
United
just, hold on, Jay,
States.
Hold on. Let me hold you right there. It's not just one state, just as Mama Nabantu said. There are some other states.
Let me finish the point, and you'll understand what I'm saying.
Okay,
what I'm saying is, one state and either other states coming together to make some sort of move against the United States is pure lunacy. Think about this. The numbers of individuals in these states would have to compete against regular citizens plus the military, and strategically they could never pull it off to damage. All they would do is kill innocent people and get themselves killed. Never think that America would allow for them to even get anywhere to that level without them start rounding people up. Do you know that Biden would round Abbott's ass up? I mean, come on, man. You got to logically think about the rhetoric that's being presented by nuts to get other people to feed into madness. It's no way in this earth that Texas has that many citizens that could compete against the United States military, nor have the damn weaponry to compete, nor have the strategic positions to compete. This is foolishness. And this is
business to even have discussions about something this asinine. How do you feed into something that can't even happen? Think about
it could
strategically.
Happen. Oh, it could happen.
No, it can't happen.
It could be, it could happen, because, but it would be very ugly. Hold on, Jay. It could happen. I doubt if it will happen, but it could happen. But because if it began to happen in Texas, even though Texas always presents itself as being big, everything's bigger in Texas. But the reality of it is this kind of situation to challenge the United States government militarily is foolish and suicidal. And so the people of Texas and the members of the other 25 other countries, the other 25 states, that's half of this country. There's 50 states, half of this country is foolhardy and suicidal. So we'll see.
You think if the United States government made a move on Texas and the other sorts, and the other states saw the type of destruction that would be placed on the Texas people, other than the sickos, would try to compete with that? Do you really think that if you're seeing people being slaughtered, you're going to commit yourself to that type of suicidal death?
No,
I mean, come on,
happen.
These are just these are madness. That's madness.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I don't believe it, but I'm willing to listen. But you know what? You know where I'm coming from in this situation, Jay. I'm coming from.
Exodus.
Get your ass out of this madness. These crackers want to go ahead and kill each other.
Oh,
let them.
I don't even. You know something? Oh, I think it's all smoke and mirrors and rhetoric, and it's basically a bluff game. Because if Biden decides to really go and deal with this situation in Texas and Abbott, I guarantee you he'll punk out.
Who Biden will or Abbott?
I don't think nobody thinks Biden is gonna go and deal with this on the level that he can. We gotta see. It's a game right now.
Let me just say this, Jay. And I know
the game of rhetoric.
Let me say this, Jay. I believe that Joe Biden will do whatever is necessary. It is Abbott who's saber rattling, who really doesn't have it, because he's not in the he doesn't have the strong hand. He doesn't have the United States military backing up. He may have a Texas militia. And that Texas militia may be armed, but it ain't armed like the United States government. So, hey, Jay, I got to go. Right on, brother.
Yeah, I know you
go.
Do.
All right, dear brother. All peace right. to you. All right. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. Really spirited today. You know, I appreciate all of you. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen B. Wait a minute, brother. Hey, man, what's up, Kwaku? How you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
Are you snug?
Great to finish program, man. We'll talk afterwards.
All right. Thank you, brother. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Be safe out there. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. BB48 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Peace.